The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A man had 2 sons, and the younger son said to the father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the young son gathered all his belongings and sent off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Evangelii dicta dilianta nostra licta. The parable of the 2 sons. Both sons in this story don't understand their father, don't understand how their father thinks and behaves. Right? We have the proverbial, I guess literally, prodigal son. He goes out and realizes that, lo and behold, sin makes you stupid, and then sin makes you lonely, and then sin makes you miserable. Surprise! So he comes to his senses, though. He turns back, but his thought is, I've damaged my relationship with my father so severely, there's no way back. Right? I'm always going to be stained by my sin. I'm always going to even if I'm let back into the household, it's not truly as a son anymore. It's going to be as, this miserable slave. But hey, at least I'm in the household. Again. He thinks that He has the unmitigated gall, and he had the unmitigated gall to begin with, to take his inheritance and leave his father, right? Essentially telling his dad, like, you're effectively dead to me. I'm leaving. So he had already had that unmitigated gall. Now is the unmitigated gall to think that his father couldn't possibly forgive him. Right? To think that his sins are so huge, his failure is so great, that there's no way back. And so he has this proposal of, oh, well, I'll come back, but as a slave. Well, of course, the father sees him coming, and he goes out to meet him. He's eager to have his son back. As he comes out and he brings him back, he says, put a ring on his finger, give him back his authority, right? The old signet rings, right? It's like, I knew a bishop once who joked about, like, you know, I wonder if they'd accept if I signed my power bill with this. You know, the authority, right? But also the finest robe. And when it says finest, it's not, the word in the original language isn't like the best or the finest in terms of like the highest quality or anything like that. He uses a numerical word, the first robe. And commentators and mystics kind of reflect on how this connects to Genesis, right? That we lost our original dignity, our original innocence, the original preternatural glory through sin. And God, he said, he clothed Adam and Eve in robes of flesh, right? Originally, remember, they sinned, and then their eyes were opened because of their sin, and their relationship was distorted. And so they literally tried to cover up how they were different, because this difference was now uncomfortable for them. And so God said, the fig leaves aren't sufficient. Here are robes of flesh. They said, you know, skins, but there's this idea of fleshiness. You're robed in fleshiness. And so there's this connection saying, the father saying, give him back the first robe. Give him back his original dignity. Bring him back to where he was before he left my household. Put sandals on his feet. You know, this simple, you know, act of separating you from the dust of the world, right? So this, in all these ways, essentially, put him back just where he was when he was gone. Oh, Father, I sinned against heaven and against you. Stop that. Do you think even what you did is so great? It's my robe to give. It's my ring to give. It's my sandals to give. Well, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Put them on. Yeah, you don't deserve it. It's mine to give you. You're my son. What do you think? You're going to be in my household as anything other than a son? That I can forget that you're my son? Oh, he's my slave. He used to be at the table. Now he serves at the table. I don't really know. It's like, of course, you can't forget that he's your son. That relationship can't be broken. It can be damaged. It can be disrespected. It can be ignored. But it can't be undone. So the son misunderstands his father, thinking that he could be in his father's household as anything but a son. If he is in his father's household, he is a son with full dignity and full rights. And then the other son, the older brother, also misunderstands his father. Right? He says, I've worked with you all these years. You never gave me a goat to feast on with my friends. Right? He's this sort of, and he's offended by the forgiveness getting given to his brother, right? He's this sort of rigorous, you know, prissy, you know, pressed-lipped, puritanical sort who's, yes, he's in his father's household. Yes, he's a son. Yes, he has, you know, this full dignity of a son, but he's not enjoying it. He's not taking advantage of it, right? I mean, if you want to use the analogy, it's like someone who's involved in their religion, very religious, highly, you know, extremely religious, practicing, but they're just a stick in the mud, right? They just don't, they don't enjoy the freedom we've been given in Christ, right? They almost, they grieve their faith. You know, even the saints who are, yeah, who can be very rigorous and very disciplined, there's still a joy there. It's not this sort of bitter checking off of boxes. Okay, you know, I'm going to check these boxes. I'm going to fulfill these religious obligations because one day I'm going to be in heaven and it'll be great. Right? You misunderstand what you have if you have this sort of, that sort of attitude towards your faith, and I'm checking off my boxes. I'm gonna get a higher score than that guy. I'm gonna get the better heaven, right? That's silly. So both sons, the sinner who thinks that he's unforgivable, and the faithful one who's not enjoying the fact that he is in the grace of his Father, who isn't. And because he's not enjoying that he's the grace of his Father, so he's incapable of rejoicing at the forgiveness given to his brother. The whole thing, both brothers misunderstand their father. And so we should see their example and say, okay, taking from this lesson from Jesus, this parable, we need to take steps make concerted efforts and remind ourselves of what God's really like. You'll note that maybe the call back to his father's house reached him even in that foreign country. But even though the father loved the prodigal son was miserable in that foreign country, alienated from his father. Right, so we could say, well, you know, we want to talk about God as merciful and patient. He's extremely merciful, extremely patient. He's so patient, he's going to let us have what we want. His forgiveness is complete forgiveness, perfect forgiveness, total restoration to where we were before, is entirely available to us, but we have to turn back. He'll run out to greet us, but we need to be on the road back to him. Right? He's not going to come and say, well, you know, you wallow in the mud with the pigs, but you know what? You're still my son. I mean, he still feels that way, but it's not like, well, you know, let's put the first robe back on you. Let's give you your ring. Let's give you your sandals. But yeah, you're still going to be, you know, eating the pig slop. You're still going to be living this life of dissipation. No, you do need to turn away from the sin. So when we talk about God's mercy, we know that it does not mean you can continue your sin. You need to turn away from your sin and leave it and seek to return to the Father's house. Right? We cannot gloss over that. We cannot lower the standard. Repentance is the necessary condition of being restored to that first robe. And when we come back, we need to remember that we cannot be in God's household except as sons. And so, let go of your past sins. God has let go of them. Who do you think you are to continue carrying the burden of them? Now, there's regret, of course. You know, there's ways to look back and say, like, Lord, the memories of my sinful days or my sinful moments, they hurt because I love you now more than I did back then. Right? So thank you, God, for saving me from that. That's a healthy attitude. But wallowing, it's like, you know, Lord, you know, I'm so great. I'm so glad that I'm back in the state of grace. I'm so glad I'm back in your household. But, you know, I did this, and I did this, and oh my goodness, oh Lord, I'm just a wretch. He put the first robe back on you. He gave you your ring and your sandals back. Let it go. Enjoy your forgiveness. Enjoy your sonship. And when you see others experience that, when you see others repent, when you see others come back to their faith, Don't calculate it like, oh, he got away with so much. You got away with so much too. None of us are innocent. Like, well, he's, look at all that grace. It's not fair. That stupid thing people in our world say, as if everyone has to get exactly the same thing all the time, otherwise it's not fair. Everyone has to end up in exactly the same place, otherwise it's not fair. That's dumb. No. Remember that you are adopted into his household. You are a son. And everything he has is yours. You know, the irony of the older son's attitude is he could have had that goat. He could have said, Father, I've got some friends coming and I'd like to go to feast on. And his father would say, absolutely, my good son, enjoy yourself. But no, he wanted to continue racking up brownie points, thinking that, well, maybe my father will notice me one day and you know, graciously pour out, you know, because you know, this, all these good things I don't deserve. It's like, yeah, of course you don't deserve it. It's a gift. Fathers like giving gifts to their sons. Why didn't you ask for a goat? Have some happiness, have some joy, have some contentment. And above all, don't be jealous when he's gracious and generous to other people. Because everything he has is yours. And so, wherever we might find ourselves in sort of our wrongheadedness and our attitude towards our relationship with God and our repentance and how we understand our sin and just all this stuff, this parable is just chock-a-block with things to reflect on, ways to remind ourselves, no, I should be grateful for the forgiveness I've received. And I should remember that it is absolutely God's joy and God's will that I suck the marrow from the good things that he has available in his household.